Hello there, how's it going? This is Cross the Rubicon channel. Welcome to my podcast. Today is the 8th of January 2020. Happy New Year to you all. So anyway, it's heating up now in the Middle East and the United States too, where Iran have put a price on Donald Trump's head for the killing of Qasem Soleimani, number two terrorist in Iran and Iraq. Now, this man was taken out on orders from Donald Trump, and rightly so, because this man's got blood in his hands. Yes, there are them who say that he's been fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda, but these people are two sides of the same coin. The Iranian terrorists and ISIS are both enemies of the United States and the West. Let's face it, they hate each other, but they collectively hate the West as well. And this is the truth. But you know, the left all around the world, the far left, the ones that will not debate, the ones that want to shut you down, the people that want to deplatform us on the right or the centre-right, these people who want to ruin us, they now want harm to the United States president. They wish him harm. And a lot of them wish harm to Boris Johnson too. These people, I would call disgusting traitors. These people are collaborators to the enemies of Western values. And you know, it's a funny old world we live in. Now, overnight, Iran has claimed responsibility for 10 rocket attacks on the Al-Assad airbase in Iraq. And they claim to have killed 30 American soldiers. Now, this is an escalation, a dangerous escalation. But no matter what Iran do, the left will point the finger at Donald Trump. They want Donald Trump gone by all means. And they will blame him for anything because they are that bitter and that twisted. I think Donald Trump is trying to prevent a war, but the left are accusing him of trying to start a war. And I think if Hillary Clinton would have gotten power rather than Donald Trump, we would have been at war for the last 2 years, the whole world, because Hillary Clinton is corrupt, absolutely corrupt. The whole family's corrupt. Same with the Obamas. Same with the Bushes too, before them. I think Donald Trump is a breath of fresh air myself. And you know, in New Zealand, that is not a very popular thing to say. Because the media in New Zealand and the government of New Zealand are anti-Trump. Now, it is alleged that Jacinda Ardern and John Key before her sent money to the Clinton campaign, would you believe, to help the Clintons try and win elections. Why would they do that? And why would John Key do that as well? Because the Democrats are equivalent or equal to Labour. So why would he do that? These people are stinking hypocrites, aren't they? But you know, I believe the left now are collaborators with the enemies of the West. They are the people that want to open the doors and keep them open to the people that want to invade us and want to destroy our Western values. This is what I believe the left are doing. They are actively siding with anybody who's anti-Western. And they're calling anybody who's pro-Western and patriots and nationalists, they're calling them far right. This is what they're doing. And this includes Hollywood stars, celebrities, mainstream media, politicians, academics in our universities. It's like they've all got this Trump derangement syndrome. And anybody on the right or right of centre, derangement syndrome. They've lost the art of debate and perfected the art of screaming. screaming and pointing the words racist, homophobe, Islamophobe, hater, far-right, neo-Nazi. They've perfected the art of doing this, and to them, that is winning the argument, or winning the debate. And the mainstream media, or the legacy media, the BBC, Sky News, Channel 4, CNN, MSNBC, ABC in Australia and the US, they're all behind this because they've all been taken over by globalists, and globalists are leftists. The media believes in no borders. They believe that everybody should be able to move wherever they want. They don't believe in a nation state. But the problem with that kind of logic, that kind of thinking, is that the third world will move to Western nations and make us poorer and destroy our cultures with their cultures, and they will bring all their troubles with them, because nobody from the West is going to be moving to Somalia or the Sudan or Egypt or Syria, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Eritrea, right across North Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, mostly Islamic countries, vast majority. Nobody's going to be moving there from the West. So this borderless world that's been touted as the greatest thing ever by globalists, and when I say globalists, I mean most governments in the Western Hemisphere, including this disaster we've got as a leader in New Zealand. They think it's a good thing. I think they're insane. Insane. And they're driven by this left-wing ideology. They don't mind destroying their own nations in the pursuit of this Kafkaesque dystopian nightmare. But they believe it's going to be a great thing. They think it's going to be a utopia, but it's not. It's going to be a disaster. The people that voted these people in didn't vote for no borders. They didn't vote for the United Nations Global Compact on Migration. That was done surreptitiously by governments, corrupt governments. And it's been hidden by the mainstream media. The media know what governments have done, but they're part of this lie. They're part of this deceit on their own people. The mainstream media is now the lying media. Trump is right when Trump says fake news. Now, he's coined the phrase fake news, and it's true. We live now in a tyrannical, correct environment. Tyrannical, correct environment. They want to shut down all our freedom of speech, these governments, by any means. And that is tyranny. You have to be pro mass migration now, pro global compact, pro everything that 10, 20 years ago was anathema to normal society. You've got to be pro minorities. It's the end of democracy. You have to be pro-minorities now to get airtime. If you love your country now and want to preserve your country, you are now a far-right white supremacist. That is the narrative. That's the narrative of governments, of academia. And the globalists. And I have no doubt I'm going to be a target at some stage for the police this year, 2020. They will come knocking again. And I get the feeling that some of those police, maybe most of them, that come knocking on my door fully armed, and militarised. They won't believe in what they're doing. They know that I'm not a threat. Some will even agree with me, but they will be just doing their job. But they will be ordered by top policemen who are not real police, but almost politicians. They wear the uniform of a policeman, a very high-ranking policeman, but they will be politicians. Completely indoctrinated into political correctness and common purpose. That's the only reason they got the top jobs, is because they have to buy in to common purpose. Because of the government demands it that way. Anybody in the police, or even in the army, military, that thinks like me, is pointed out as a far-right white supremacist. And they will be got rid of at some stage, or they will be targeted. It's going to go tits up, I think, this year. I think, there's a lot of things going to happen. But did you know the Australian police as well? Just changing the subject. The Australian police have arrested 180 arsonists for the bushfires. This you won't see on the news because it doesn't fit the narrative. Pay more taxes and we'll fix the climate. These climate alarmists and governments want you to do. They want you to pay more taxes. And the media are on board as well. This is what all this is about. They want you to believe in climate change. And then they're going to want you to pay more taxes to fix the problem. 5 million people in New Zealand, 22 or 24 million people in Australia. Do you really think that them people with a much higher cost of living paying all these taxes is going to change the environment on the globe? It's not going to make it 1 ounce of difference. But the stupid, these climate alarmists, these people that protest, and you know, your likes of your Russell Crowes and your other celebrities that are saying these bushfires are all because of climate change and all this. These people are stupid as, honestly, I was going to swear then, but they're stupid as broom handles. They're bought into this Greta Thunberg garbage. It's garbage, all of it. These people are not only stupid, but they're liars as well. Maybe they just should stick to acting. Stick to acting. Ricky Gervais as well. Did you see him at the Golden Globes just the other day? I mean, what a performance. I don't think he's going to be there again. He did a fantastic job, didn't he, in piling into these loons, these lefty bastards, these woke lefty bastards, super rich. Went there in their private planes and their entourage of security cars, you know, 3, 4, 5 litre cars. And yet they preach about climate change. And they all slag it into Donald Trump because they have to be in that echo chamber because they're too scared to say otherwise. And did you see, you know, I respect him as an actor, fantastic actor. Tom Hanks, did you see his face? And Robert De Niro too. Sickening, isn't it? Absolutely sickening. Funny enough, I watched The Irishman just the other day and it was a great film. Robert De Niro is one of my favourite actors, but he's gone over a cliff these past couple or 3 years because of things he said about Donald Trump. Disgusting things. On stage, getting up and saying F Donald Trump and F this, F that. And I'm going to punch his lights out. And oh, it's just sickening. It's sickening to watch these great, great actors just make stupid errors like this. Because they feel, I don't know, they feel they want to be part of the in-group. The woke leftists who know nothing, understand nothing. They're super rich, but they're not down. They're not down with the people, are they? They're not down with the farmers. They're not down with the steel workers, the workers, the real producers of nations. They're not really down with them. These people just mix with celebrities, Hollywood starlets, and whatever. Just getting their facelifts and these bloody facial operations and talking shit all day. These people just... They've got... It's a clear case of more money than sense that these people have got. They've got no idea about real life. And Ricky Gervais, when he said, most of you have spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. And he was right. He was right. And I loved it when he said, listen, just come up here, get your awards, thank your agent, and fuck off. That was just great, wasn't it? That was just poetry in motion, wasn't it? And you know what? They all got up on stage and did just that. They were humiliated into doing what he told them to do. There's more talent in Ricky Gervais than his whole audience that were watching him. A comical genius in a way. But he won't be there again. That's his last, I'd say. But good, at least he stuck to it. I mean, that's bottle. That's courage. To stand there amongst thousands of people who are ideologically opposed to you. I'm not really sure where Ricky Gervais stands. He could be centre if he wants. But, you know, he just called out the hypocrisy of these elites, these super Hollywood elites. And it was great to see. It really was great to see. And these talk show hosts in the United States as well, the way they pile it into Trump. It's just awful, isn't it? You know, they're supposed to be comedians. What do? All they ever do is talk about Donald Trump and slagging him off. They come on and say, first thing they say is, fuck Trump. And the whole audience claps and cheers. I mean, is that really funny? Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my British sense of humour, but I find that so unfunny. I'm not sure I could laugh at that. Not in a million years. But no. But that's what these people do. They hate Trump. And you know, they want Trump brought down by any means. This Nancy Pelosi still hasn't handed over the articles of impeachment to the Senate. Considering they seen the United States President Donald Trump as an immediate threat to national security in the United States. And they wanted him removed as quick as possible. How long has it been? 3 or 4 weeks. She's had these articles of impeachment and she hasn't handed them over. Where does she live? San Francisco. People shitting in the streets, pissing in the streets. And she encourages them. Coming over from South Central America, the Middle East and Africa, just to shit in her streets. How bright is that? These people are stupid. Oh, they're awful. They want to destroy their own communities just to keep in power. But that's what they do. All the poorest cities and the rougher cities, the ones with the highest crime rates in the United States, highest unemployment, are Democrats. The democratically led cities. And the richer cities are conservative, i.e. Republican. You mean go figure. They rely, Democrats, they rely on people being poor. They want people to be poor. So they can keep them reliant on the state. The state becomes their saviour. Gives them money. Gives them food stamps. And keeps them voting for Democrats. And like I've said before, but I'll say it again. In 1861 to 1865, the American Civil War, it was the Republicans that ended slavery. Republicans. Then it was the Northern states. Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. He ended slavery. and the southern states, the Confederate states, the rebel states, led by Jefferson Davis. They wanted to keep slavery, and they, then, were Democrats. Would you believe? These are just facts. But ask anybody in the street in the United States today, most, I would say most, maybe 80 to 90%, would say that it was Republicans wanted to keep slavery, and it was Democrats that ended slavery, because that's the way it looks today. But the opposite is true. And also, most of the northern states today, the northern states that were the Republicans in 1860s, now are Democrats. And the southern states of the United States are mostly Republican. So it's completely turned around. Now, if you were, that's funny enough, I had a conversation with an American fella at work. He was, I think he's about 30. This was recently. And we were talking, about politics. And I said to him, I asked him, well, first question I asked him was, what was Abraham Lincoln? What party did he come from? This fellow was from Oklahoma City, I think he was. And he said he was a Democrat because he ended slavery. I said, no, mate, he was a Republican. And he didn't believe me until he checked it up. See, that's how stupid they are in the state. I'm not saying, but they are ignorant of the truth in the United States. But this fellow was 30 years old. And I said, the KKK in the United States, were they mostly Republicans or mostly Democrats? He said, they were all Republicans. I said, no, mate, you're completely wrong. The opposite is true. The KKK were all Democrats. There was no Republicans in the KKK. Now, I said that. I said this in my video that got banned recently, last month. And maybe that's why it was banned. I don't know. But I said a few things. But that was amongst them, those few statements I've just made. And this is the truth. And yet most blacks in the United States vote for Democrat. They vote Democrat. How and why did they do that? When it was Democrats that wanted to keep slavery. But it's a funny, I find it fascinating, the United States, the history of the United States. More so than anywhere else, actually. Which is funny for a Brit. Come New Zealander. But you've got Virginia now as well. As I mentioned in my last podcast. Virginia's turned blue. And in the United States, obviously, it's the opposite way around again. Blue is Democrat and red is Republican. But Virginia's gone Democrat. And the state government wanted to come for people's guns. And the gun owners, well, they say no, you're not coming for them. So what's going to happen there? And the state government have threatened police officers, law enforcement, if you don't do this and enforce what we tell you to do, you're going to lose your jobs, you're going to lose your pensions, you're going to lose everything. But these state troopers, these sheriffs, these police, basically, law enforcement, they're there to uphold the Constitution. That's what they signed up for. And people being able to keep their arms to save them from enemies within and enemies without is the Second Amendment. That's what they made allegiance to. And yet, how is it going to pan out? All the makings of a civil kind of conflict to me that could spread right throughout the United States. So now the lines are being drawn in the United States. Basically, if you're a gun owner and you want to keep your gun, you will have to be Republican. And if you want to disarm the Americans, and you believe in much like, it should go the same way as France and Britain, and everyone should be disarmed, then you will be a Democrat. But in the United States, the difference is they've got their Second Amendment where they've got the right to bear arms. Here lies a huge problem. But you know, the states are going to have different laws, and the Virginia, 95 counties in Virginia, there is, and I think 85 of the 95 have declared themselves the Second Amendment Second Amendment sanctuary counties. So the state governments have got a real problem. How are they going to enforce this? But anyway, Charlie Hebdo, they've hit out at social media censorship of free speech, especially that is criticising Islam. You know, this censorship by these big tech companies, Twitter, YouTube, and the rest, that are censoring all kinds of criticism of mass migration and Islam. Islam is the biggest one. It's almost like, I don't know, anybody who wants to censor your criticism of Islam is, I believe, is a collaborator with political Islam to take over your country. That's what I believe. Maybe that's dangerous talk, but it's what I believe to be the truth. Anybody who's in office or academia, government leaders, prime ministers, presidents, who want to censor their own people from criticizing Islam is a collaborator with political Islam against our freedoms. There, I've said it, and I believe it to be the truth. Anyway, I've been on here, 27 and a half minutes. We're going to have to see how this pans out with the United States and Iran and the Shia of Iraq as well. Hopefully it doesn't come to war. But you know, the only thing that these people understand is strength. What did Obama do? He was as weak as piss, wasn't he? What did he give them? What did he give Iran? Please don't attack us here. Here, he says. Here is $150 billion in pallets full of cash. That's what Obama did. He sent $150 billion on pallets in hard US currency on planes to Iran. That was Obama. Please don't attack us. Here's this monumental amount of money. Obama was awful. He was the Manchurian candidate, as I see it. How many times did he bag Christians? How many times did he do that? There'd be an Islamist attack, and what did Obama ever do? He came out and stuck it to Christians and started talking about the Crusades. That's what he did. What a disgusting, treasonous president he was. And I believe that. It's my right to believe that too. And it's my right to say it. I think he committed treasonous acts against the United States. Even when he ran for president, he said he's going to fundamentally change the United States. I love America, but I'm going to fundamentally change the United States of America. If you loved America, why would you want to change it? If you loved your wife, why would you want to change your wife? Nah, he came from nowhere. Nobody still today knows his real full history. Nobody. Even the universities he went to, allegedly, nobody even knew him. No one recognised him. So where did he come from? And there's censorship over that as well. You can't even ask those questions because that, asking that, apparently is racist because he's, well, he's black. So that's it. You can't ask questions because he's got a race card to pull, a card to pull. And when you ask questions like that, well, the left call you a racist. And that's why he's never been called out by the press. Epstein, let's get on to Epstein. What happened to him? Did he kill himself? Or did he... or was he killed? Do you know, I was a prison officer for 11 years here in Christchurch and Rolleston Prison. And I've worked in basically what they call the at-risk unit in Christchurch Men's. And there's a lot of people on suicide watch in them units. And I've done it. I've done that. And when they are at risk, people at risk of committing suicide, they are given stitch gowns, where it's almost impossible for them to commit suicide unless they've managed to get a blade underneath their tongue or something like that. But these people are super, super strip searched, and they are. I mean, it's a full strip search. And it's very difficult for them to get blades in where they can cut the wrists and things like that. And they're in a stitch gown. I hardly need blankets. The cells are heated, so they don't really need blankets. And yet, they're on 15-minute obs as well. And sometimes, continuous observations on camera. Continuous. And this Epstein, who had so much dirt on so many very, very powerful people, including Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew, managed to kill himself. How did he manage to do that? And apparently, we're being told that the two prison staff fell asleep. You know what I say that is? That is stinking bullshit. The most high-profile prisoner on the planet at that time, on suicide risk, where he should have been on constant observations and the two prison staff were sleeping. It's crap. It's garbage. It's a lie, an absolute lie. He's been topped. He's been murdered for what he knew, the information he had on very, very powerful people. Who had to shut him down, had to shut him up. That's what I believe. And like I said, I've done this. I've done it. I've done that very job. Nobody falls asleep on those jobs. Nobody. It's a lie. Being propagated again by the left and globalists and media academics. Who want to protect their own. And their own are very, very powerful people. Who are anti-Western and in the pockets of people who want to bring the West down. But anyway, whether it all comes out in the wash, who knows? And it probably won't. But all I can say is, this year, hopefully Jacinda gets kicked out of office. She's destructive. She's taken away our freedom of speech. She's disarming New Zealand. She's given away our borders, our sovereignty to the United Nations. She's a socialist. She's a Marxist. She's anti-freedom. But the media love her. And she's just also got an award for, I don't know, Pacific Islander, Pacific Person of the Year or something, I don't know. It's just sickening, just too sickening to watch on the telly. These sycophants, obsequious sycophants, that suck up to her. Whether she listens to this podcast, I don't know. I'm sure people around her do. But this is my right, this is my freedom. What are they going to do? Am I inciting hatred? Am I inciting violence? You be the judge. But I know I'm not. But anyway, I was going to talk about a couple of trolls, and one particular troll that I've got in Christchurch. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's telling people, he's from Wales, he's been here for a long time, but he's so far left, it's not funny. And he's calling Trump, fuck this and fuck that, and Boris, fuck this and fuck that. And he's actually said on a video he made just yesterday that he's siding with anybody who's against Britain and America. So he's a traitor, this bloke. And he's also saying that he's been to the police. He's been to the police about these podcasts, about my videos. He said he went just the other day to the police station in Christchurch to make a statement, and he was there for 3 hours making a statement about me. I've never even met this bloke. Making a statement to the police. And this is not the first time. He's been there many times before. He tells you this in his video. But I'm not going to tell you who it is, because I'm not going to give him the airtime. Why should I? But he's telling people how this white supremacist, i.e. me, neo-Nazi, far right, whatever, is a danger to New Zealand. That's me he's talking about. And how he's complaining to the police. Surely, you know, in an ideal world, the police would be looking at him thinking, my God, you're crackers. You're absolutely crackers. They'll be thinking. But, you know, you don't know what the police see. Because this fella is on the side of Jacinda. He's on the side of the globalists. He's on the side of radical political Islam. He's on the side of anybody that hates the West. Therefore, he is the darling of the media, the darling of the mainstream media. And I am not. So, would the police use their common sense, or would they go down the political route and come for me for this so-called hate speech and this dangerous talk I talk about? Time will see. It's only early in the year. We're only 8 days into the new year, but we'll have to see what happens. But I think they'll come at some stage. And they'll throw all kinds of accusations, and they will probably charge me with some kind of hate crime. Who knows? But I think it's going to come. And this man will be so joyous, wouldn't he? But I think he's dangerous now. I sent him a message this morning. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. And I told him he needs help. This fella needs help because he's making videos about my videos. How sad is that? And he's naming me by name. And, you know, could you call that doxing? I suppose it is. But this fella's got it bad. I mean, that's really bad. He's obviously, he's not full shilling. He needs professional help. And I told him so. But, you know, there are some nutters out there. There are some real nutcases. It sounds like this fella spends most of his time in a police station making complaints. He must have his own special chair there with his name on it. And I'm sure when he walks in, the police say, oh, fuck, not again. Here we go. This is 3 hours of lost time when they see him walking in, because they know exactly what it's going to be about. My name. And this far-right white supremacist who's stirring all this trouble in New Zealand. But anyway, I'm going to cut it there. And I've been on here nearly 40 minutes. But thank you for listening. And I'm not sure if you can subscribe on this. I don't know. But anyway, spread it. Spread this everywhere. Because, you know, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of people in New Zealand who are pro-Trump. And a lot of us that really don't like Jacinda. And we want her voted out. She's got to get out of office because she's no good for New Zealand. She's a narcissist. who is only looking after herself. She wants the big job in the United Nations. And she'll do anything to get it, even if it means destroying New Zealand. She doesn't give a shit about New Zealand. She doesn't give a shit about the culture of New Zealand. She wants to replace it, I believe, because she's being told to replace it. But what's going to replace it? I'll let you figure that out. But anyway, that's me. See you later.